The study this month is on seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And tonight's message is, you reap more than you sow. So we're going to turn over to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. This is after the flood, God speaks. And he says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So from the beginning of time, from the time of Genesis, God put into motion this principle of seed time and harvest. It will always be in operation as long as this world exists. You know, seed time and harvest is also known as sowing and reaping. Paul writes about this to the Galatians in Galatians 6:7, that whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. You know, in every part of the human existence, this principle of seed time and harvest works. How many would agree here tonight? In every area of the human existence, seed time and harvest works. Let's say you want homegrown, natural, organic apples. What do? You plant apple seeds and you nurture the seeds, and eventually will come an apple tree, and then after some years, they say, will come apples. You know, if you need a harvest of more finances, what kind of seeds do you sow? You sow seeds of work, that's right. You sow seeds of your time into your job. You sow seeds of your time into looking for a better paying job. You sow seeds of diligence in your work, and you will reap a harvest of more finances to pay the bills. See what I'm talking about here tonight? All right, so let's say you need a harvest of companionship. You need some friends. Then you sow seeds of your time into somebody who is lonelier than you. And if you start sowing seeds of your time into somebody that is lonelier than you, in due time, you'll reap the friends into your life that you need. Is that making sense here tonight? So seed time and harvest works in every part of the human life. So my question to you tonight is this. What harvest are you focused on? What harvest are you focused on tonight? Is it a harvest of more finances? Maybe you're in survival mode right now. Maybe you need more money to pay a medical bill, to pay an educational bill. And so you're sowing a lot of your time and your energies into working to produce more finances. Maybe you've been diagnosed with an illness, maybe high cholesterol, maybe a heart disorder. And so maybe you're sowing seeds of good diet into your life. Maybe you're sowing seeds of time into exercising, running more, walking more, working out more so that you can harvest better health into your life. Maybe tonight you're needing a harvest of happiness in your life. Maybe you're depressed here tonight. Maybe you've suffered loss in some area of your life. Maybe the loss of a loved one, the loss of a career, the loss of finances. And so maybe tonight you're downtrodden and depressed. And so maybe what you're doing is you're sowing seeds of your time into watching comedies. Maybe you're watching The Three Stooges. Maybe you're sowing a lot of seed called your time into entertainment and fun. You're trying to harvest a pick-me-up. You're trying to get out of your depression. So what harvest are you focused on tonight? You know, these harvests that I just talked about, I term it temporal harvests. These are temporal harvests. Tonight, I want to encourage you to start refocusing your thoughts instead on an everlasting harvest, on an eternal harvest. Think about that for a moment. Tonight, beginning tonight, I want you to start refocusing your thoughts on an everlasting harvest, on an eternal harvest. And you might be thinking tonight, what is an eternal harvest? This is what an eternal harvest is. It's people who will make it into heaven one day because of the seeds of kindness, compassion, Christ-likeness, and the gospel that you sowed into them while they lived on this earth. That's what an everlasting harvest is. Let me say it again. An everlasting harvest is this. It's people who make it to heaven one day based on the seeds of goodness, Christ-likeness, kindness, and the gospel that you sowed into their lives while they lived on this earth. And if you start reaching people with the love of Christ here on this earth, they'll make it to heaven one day. Friends, that's called an eternal harvest. Is that good news here tonight? Amen. You know, so many times we're stuck in flesh and bone here. And so many times we get caught up in these temporal harvests. But let's start thinking about this everlasting, this eternal harvest, which goes on and on and on forever, which is people that make it to heaven one day because of the good seeds we sow into their lives here on this earth while they lived here. Is that making sense here tonight? So my question to you tonight is this: what legacy will you leave behind? And I'm preaching to myself tonight. What legacy will you leave behind? How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered as a person who sowed seeds of kindness, Christ-likeness, goodness, godliness, and the gospel into the lives of others? I want to be remembered that way. How about you? Yeah. Or will you be remembered as a person that was always angry? A person who was always trying to get revenge? A person that was bitter? I don't want to be remembered that way. How about you? No. Say it with me tonight. I want to be remembered, as a person, who planted good seeds into the lives of others while they lived on this earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, sowing and reaping in Mark chapter 4. This is what he says. He gives a parable. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." Mark 4:26. He said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." So the farmer sows his seed, and he goes to sleep, he gets up. As he goes about his daily activities, the seed germinates. He doesn't know how, but God knows how, because God created the seed, right? So the stalk comes up, then the head on the stalk, and then the full kernel in the head. Now, most likely Jesus is talking about wheat seeds, wheat grains. And I discovered an interesting fact about wheat grains while I was studying. One wheat grain, one wheat seed can produce 8 heads of wheat. Each head of wheat can produce 40 plus grains of wheat. If you take 40 times 8, that's 320. One wheat grain planted can produce 320 plus of its own kind. Isn't that unbelievable?
That's
unbelievable. You plant one wheat grain and it can produce 320 wheat grains in return. To me, that's awesome. You know what I mean? To me, this sounds like you reap a whole lot more than you sow. Say it with me tonight. I will reap a whole lot more than I sow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, in sowing and reaping, it's not one for one. In sowing and reaping seed, it's more like many as a result of one seed planted. Let me say it again. In sowing and reaping, it's not one for one. In sowing and reaping, it's like many as the result of one seed planted. When you sow the seed of the gospel into the life of somebody this year, that person may be one to Christ. But God could take that seed of the gospel that you planted into that person's life, and He can multiply it exponentially, so that in addition to that one person going to heaven one day, hundreds, if not thousands more, will make it to heaven one day as a result of that seed that you plant this year and the seeds that you plant in the coming years. Is that good news here tonight? You may feel like, man, I've just sowed the seed of the gospel, a seed of kindness into one person's life this year. But heaven will tell how many hundreds, if not thousands, came into the kingdom of God, made it to heaven because of that seed of the gospel that you sowed in that year, 2017. Only heaven will tell one day. Remember, in sowing and reaping, it's not one for one. It's many as the result of one seed planted. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
I'm going to read you an illustration here from the speaker's quote book. I thought it was a great case in point for the message tonight. And it's this. Everyone knows of Heinz. How many here know of Heinz? 57 varieties? Ketchup? All right. Everybody knows of Heinz, the 57 varieties, but few know of his zeal as a soul winner. At a revival meeting one day, the minister turned to him and said, "You are a Christian man. Why aren't you up and at it?" Wow. That question was a seed put into the life of Mr. Heinz. "You are a Christian man," the minister said to him. "Why aren't you up and at it?" He went home in anger and went to bed, but he could not sleep. At 4 o'clock in the morning, he prayed that God would make him a power in his work, and then he went to sleep. At the next meeting of bank presidents, which he attended shortly afterward, he turned to the man next to him and spoke to him about Christ. His friend looked at him in amazement and said, "I've wondered many times why you never spoke to me about it if you really believed in Christ." That man was the first of 267 people Heinz won to Christ after that time. Isn't that amazing? That gospel ministered, sowed that seed into the life of Heinz at that meeting. "If you're a Christian," he says, "you're a Christian man, why aren't you up and at it?" That was a question. That was a seed the minister planted into Mr. Heinz's life. And as a result of that seed planted into his life, over 200 or 267 people came to Christ as a result. It's the same with us. It's the same with us. You may be thinking, you know what? I'm just speaking words in the air when I share the gospel. Sometimes you're not. You're sowing seed into the life of somebody who needs the gospel. And one day, heaven will tell how many people were touched for eternity, how many people made it to heaven because of how you shared the gospel, how you sowed that seed faithfully into that person's life. So my question to you tonight is this. You're Christians, right? How many here claim to be followers of Jesus Christ? Then why aren't you up and at it? If you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, then why aren't you up and at it? Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not on this earth just to exist. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident going somewhere to happen. God has got a divine destiny, end, and purpose for your life. God's purpose for your life, God's destiny for your life is to touch other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. You can verbally share the gospel on a pulpit, one-on-one, but you can also share the gospel in deed and doing something kind for somebody who needs some kindness. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a destiny. God has got a destiny. God has got a plan. God has got a purpose for your life. When God tells you to open your mouth and speak the gospel to somebody who is hurting, listen to his voice. Obey his voice. Share the gospel. It's not going on fallow ground. I'm here to tell you tonight that that person will be touched with the love of Christ. He'll make it to heaven one day, and many, 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 many others will make it into the kingdom of God as a result of that seed and those seeds that you plant here on this earth. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
All right, so ways that you can sow the seed of the gospel into someone else's life. How can you sow the seed of the gospel into somebody else's life this year? Simple ways. You can spend time with a lonely person. Do you know somebody who's lonely out there? Lonelier than you, living under a bridge? Go out and spend a couple of hours this week with that person. Spend a couple of hours with that lonely person this week. Show them that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that the love of Christ is on the inside of you. They're going to say, wow, there's something different about you. You have something that I don't have. What is it? You know, maybe somebody's trying to move out of a certain location into another location. Give that person some of your time and help them clean their house, their apartment. Maybe there's somebody who's depressed, downtrodden. Maybe they've suffered a great loss recently. They feel so low that they can do a push-up under a penny. Well, go to that downtrodden person, go to that depressed person and say to them, God loves you. Speak words of encouragement. I believe in you. Those could be the words that turn that person's life around and get them out of the cave of depression. God has given you a mouth, hasn't He? He's given you the ability to speak words, hasn't He? Let's start speaking words of encouragement into the lives of other hurting people, people who are hurting more than us. You know, maybe there's somebody in the hospital that you know, somebody in a nursing home that is lonely, is just maybe ready to die, and they need companionship, they need friendship, they feel like they just want to give up on life because nobody cares about them. If you know that person and God is leading you to that person, go to that nursing home, go to that hospital, spend a couple of hours, 3 hours this week with that lonely person. That seed of kindness could be the very thing that causes that person, could be the catalyst that causes them to accept Christ and enter heaven for eternity. You know, pray for the sick. Didn't Jesus pray for the sick? Mark chapter 5, the chapter after we just read. Mark chapter 5, verse 18. Jesus healed a demon-possessed man. Mark 5:18. He delivered a demon-possessed man. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. Mark 5:20. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis all about what Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Jesus delivered a demon-possessed man. This man became a believer in Jesus Christ as a result of Jesus reaching out to him. But not only did this person become a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, but he went out all around into the Decapolis and started sharing of the goodness of Christ with others. And I would imagine that many, many others, if not hundreds of others, accepted Jesus Christ, became followers of Christ as a result of this deliverance in Mark chapter 5. Jesus sowed a seed into this man's life, and that seed multiplied many times over. So that many, many hundreds possibly became followers of Jesus Christ at that time and made it to heaven. You know, we'll take two things into eternity with us. Two things that you will take into eternity with you. Number one, your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the second thing you'll take into eternity with you is the good you did for others when you lived on this earth. You know, like we talked about, if you spend time with a lonely person, you spend time with that person who's in the hospital, you spend time with that person who's in the nursing home, you know, you speak at words of encouragement to that depressed person, you pray for the sick and the demon-possessed, you're reaching out to people in this way, they're going to say, you know what, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. These are going to be ways, channels, for you to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in deed and in word, and reaching out to people in these ways will be the channel for them eventually to bring Jesus into their lives and make it to heaven. Your work is not in vain. Your words are not in vain. Keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are going to say, like I said, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. They have something I don't have. And you can tell them the thing I have that you don't have, maybe, is Jesus Christ. But he also wants to be your Savior and your Lord. And you can lead him in a salvation prayer. Is that good news here tonight? Starting tonight, tomorrow, in the coming days, God is going to speak to you about reaching out to a certain person, to certain persons. Don't ignore His voice. Your work is not in vain. Your words are not in vain. Those words, the reaching out, those are seeds that you are sowing. Those seeds will germinate, and that person eventually will become a follower of Christ and make it to heaven. But not just that person, many other people as a result as well. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, a wheat grain produces how many of its own kind? One wheat grain planted can produce 320 plus of its own kind. You're not on this earth just to exist. You're not on this earth just to sit at the shelter. You're on this earth to make a difference in other people's lives. Remember, there is somebody out there in greater need than you. Touch them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about leaving a legacy. How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered as a person here in Tulsa who sowed seeds of goodness, kindness, Christ-likeness, and the gospel into the lives of others while they lived on this earth? I want to be remembered that way. How about you? Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's not enough just to hear a message like this. You've got to put a message like this into practice. So I encourage you, starting tonight, be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the voice of God telling you, reach out to this person. Get this person a glass of water. Spend some time with this person. Speak this good word into this person's life. Be sensitive. You are sowing seeds of kindness in that person will become a follower of Jesus as a result. Amen?
Amen.